Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
Well, I've got some good news.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, we do need good news.
We certainly do, but I can't wait to hear what this good news is.
Oh, no, it's just about my little car, my Merc.
What about it?
Well, I took it for an MOT and it passed.
Did you? that's a miracle after what you've done to the alloys on it.
I know. That's a bit of a mystery, that alloy.
Those
that were listening last week would know there was a little strip that came off when I parked in Barnes because their curbs are very high.
Yeah.
And as I got out of my car, the base of my very low car, the door went on the pavement.
Hold on. As you got out, it should go up.
Yeah, well, I wasn't actually out. It was just one little foot on the curb.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it's very difficult because the curb is too high. So, you've got to lever yourself up. And it's nothing to do with my age.
We went to my in-laws for lunch on Mother and Sunday and Amanda drove.
Yeah. Did you let her drive?
Well, I'm going, you know there's a curb there, don't you? And I suddenly realised she has the same problem. You can't see, can you? Neither of you can see the curb.
Yeah, well, what do you mean? Because of our eyelashes too?
No, because you're too short and too far down.
It's very, very low. And the curb is high, as in Herne Bay.
And there's no sense of where you are in the road.
Well, we do have bleepers.
Yeah, but you don't want to rely on those, do you? No. They won't tell you where the curb is anyway.
No, they don't. Yeah. You need a bleeper at the side. Anyway, but don't you think that's bad that the actual door scrapes if you open it? So I had to then quickly go, oh, no, and close it.
Well, and then you need to lose a bit of weight.
And then it's nothing to do with it.
Of course it is. Yeah.
It's a low sports car.
But it's lower.
With only one person in it. Imagine if I had a family in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a lot heavier.
Oh, yeah.
Even with a family. Anyway, it passed.
Yeah.
But today as I'm driving, well, first of all, you know, remember I had a new roof put on because the sunroof was leaking?
Yeah.
Well, they said something, I don't know, they spoke to the new husband, he went to collect it, and they said something about, he said, well, Jules has just had the roof done, and they said, well, it's like repairing the roof on your house, but not repairing the gutter, it's some other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I was coming along this morning, I smelt a little whiff, and I was thinking, what's that whiff? And I sort of screwed up my nose, and I realised it was a whiff of mechanic.
Right.
You know, that sort of mechanic oil smell.
Right, okay.
But they've had their grubby little oil hands on.
Right, well, anyway, you started...
And they haven't validated it afterwards, which they used to.
Hold on. How does all of this constitute good news? You just told me you had some good news.
Well, that was the good news that it passed the MOT.
And it smelled of mechanic.
That's the bad news. But that...
Odor mechanic. You could bottle that. Sure that there was some people that would go for that.
Well, since I've been to Dubai and had a lovely time there, and that conference, of course, in Abu Dhabi, that was great... I've been in touch with one of the sheikhs or whatever they are, of Abu Dhabi, who's the Minister for Food Safety and Environment. Very nice chap. But I bought myself, when I was out there, in one of the souks, Eau de Oud. Parfum de Oud.
You bought it in a souk?
Yeah.
Now, did I ever tell you my story about the souk in Tunis where I got ripped off?
Watered down?
No, it wasn't. It was hilarious.
Did you buy your cousin's carpet?
I got well and truly done. Myself and my son Stu, who was about 15 at the time, we were in Tunis. And I'm we're walking towards the centre of the city.
Yeah.
And I'm lecturing all the way there. There's a lot of people here that will try and scam us and rip us off. You be careful. You don't do anything. Right. So we get a cab and we get into the city. And I get out of a cab and a guy comes walking along and he goes, oh, hiya. Hello. He went, sorry, you don't recognise me. I waited at your table last night in the restaurant. I went, oh, okay.
Oh, sweet.
He said, would you like me to show you the best places to go? And I, oh, okay then. So we followed him and we ended up right in the middle of the souk outside his cousin's shop.
Yeah, yeah, cousin. It's always a cousin.
Yeah, at which point he disappeared completely. And I looked round behind me and the road we just come at isn't there anymore. They've moved all the stalls in, so the road's gone completely.
You were trapped?
Yeah, I was trapped. I've got no idea how to get out. And his cousin's selling me Chanel number 5. Right, he's going, you want to buy some Chanel number 5 for your girlfriend? And I went, no. And he's gone, you smell it. It's just rose water.
They love rose water.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like grey in a little bottle. There's no label on it or anything. He goes, that's what they. That's Chanel without the label.
Do they call it Camel, perhaps?
Yeah, yeah. And I went, yeah, okay. How much? And he went, $50. I went, oh, no. And he went, $5. I went,
it's gone down rapidly.
Your negotiating is really working out. I said, I'll give you $8 as long as you escort us out of here back to civilization. He went, okay, then.
Hang on, you went up. You went up from $5.
I went up because I needed to get out and I didn't know how to get out.
How long did it take you to get out?
Oh, it's only about 3 minutes because they moved everything out of the way and you could see where you were again.
I know. Well, my new husband says that I'm the only person that barters up rather than down because I always go, oh, it's really nice. Yeah. We bought some lovely spices actually there, which were really nice from Iran or Persia, depending. They're very good. Some of them are very hot. Anyway, so, yes, a little bit of ode to mechanic this morning.
Okay.
So I opened my window a bit as I went, you know, on some country lanes. I opened my window, but there's still a little whiff of mechanic.
All right. But you passed your MOT.
I didn't personally, but my car did. Mm. Apart from this, you know, strange thing about the gutters, but I'll have to phone them and see because my new husband didn't really listen.
Yeah.
So
is it still leaking? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not still leaking. I don't know. They've obviously found something. But I don't take it to the Mercedes main dealer anymore. I don't take it to Lookers anymore because they just rip me off every time I went. And, you know, I think when you go to a main dealer, you've got about five receptionists and coffee machines and televisions and you've got a lot of staff. And I think I'm paying for all these people. Yeah, I don't really need them. Mm. It's a bit like Harley Street. When I go to Harley Street for my vaccine damage. I'm going to Cleveland Clinic, which is very posh, but there's a man on the door that sits there on a stool all day. Then a lady comes up and offers me tea and biscuits. Then another lady comes up and offers me water. And then some other person takes me to the lift. And I think, this is why Harley Street is so expensive, you know, plus the rent.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I think all these good doctors should move to, Scunthorpe or somewhere.
A bit of a trek for you to go to Scunthorpe, though, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, or Hastings.
Okay.
Herne Bay.
Tankerton.
Tankerton would be lovely. Talking of Tankerton, did you see what happened to my bush?
No.
Are our listeners in Rye listening?
I did actually see, yeah. No. Was that the one you were moaning that the bird song stopped because they
It's very sad. Do you see how many views that video has had?
Yeah.
Over 5,000. Because people really care about wildlife. So our local council, who seem to destroy everything and meddle, and they're politicians, they're not gardeners, have sent Serco, who are, what are they, waste disposal people.
Yeah.
And we have a lovely wild triangle. So we live right on the seafront, very wild. There's a lovely triangle that's always been left with these big old bushes, not tall, but they're bushes, with hundreds of... It's actually the most sparrows and starlings in Kent that nest there and have done for hundreds of years with all their little ancestors, little chick ancestors. And my friend Andy Taylor, who's a bird watcher, he goes out every morning and watches all the other birds that come in, kestrels and things, eagles and things. So he actually saw them. He said they just ploughed through in a tractor, and he said they would have been deaf not to have heard all the birds in there. It's really loud if you listen to the video. And all the swarms of birds just flew out and they just cut the bush down to nothing. It's just bare ground. And, I'm moaning.
Well, it's like Plymouth Council, wasn't it, that felled all of those trees.
The trees,
in the high street, so they could put in a green cycle lane. I mean, you couldn't make it up if you tried.
And the houses, we've got so many developers building all around Whitstable on the Thanet Way and farmland. You know, food security, they've forgotten about that. They're building on farmland. And they make the developers put in trees, but they don't make sure that the developers water the trees. So the trees all die.
They all
die.
Yeah.
And they never replace. Yeah. So I'm livid with the council. And I've had all these, of course, Mark Dance, I got straight onto him because he's my councillor now.
Oh, he's your local councillor.
Yeah. And, I've been kicking arse really this morning and yesterday. But they've come back with, you know, it's their forestation policy.
Yeah.
And they did it before the 1st of March, which is when the birds nest. Right. But it's rubbish. That bird, the bush is full of baby birds and big birds. And
talking of politicians, I thought I'd just do a quick summary of what they did to us in the budget.
Can we also say hello to our listeners in Romney Marsh area, FM? Saint Port?
You can say hello
to them. We've got some lovely listeners in Saint Port and Romney Marsh FM.
Yeah, we have.
So hello.
It's not Romney Marsh FM.
Well, tell me, remind me.
St. Paul Radio.
Well, I said that bit.
Yeah, but then you added Romney Marsh.
Well, a lot of them are on the Marsh.
Well, they're all on the Marsh, but it's not Romney Marsh FM.
And Rye. They go out to
St. Paul Radio.
They go out to Rye.
They do. East Sussex.
Yeah. So hello to all our lovely listeners in St. Paul FM and Romney Marsh and Rye and East Sussex. Hope you're having a lovely little morning coffee listening to the Business Bunker. When we'd love to hear from you.
When she's finished, I'll...
we'd love to hear from you, because we love Rye and Romney Marsh.
And Camber Sands.
Anyway, yeah, and Camber Sands, lovely wide open beach. So do tell me about your politician.
No.
Have you lost the will now?
No, you've messed it
Something
up
Something about your budget, you said.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you some of the headlines from the budget.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. The main rate of corporation tax paid by businesses on taxable profits over £250,000 is confirmed to increase to a whopping 25%. And this is the bit I don't like. Companies with profits between, so anyone with profits less than 50,000 will remain on the 19% band. But between 50 and 250, it's a sliding scale.
Oh, slippery slope, I call it.
Well, how on earth do you work out what the sliding scale is?
Yeah, especially if you don't know anything about business.
Well, your accountant's going to do it, but it's just so typical of our tax system that they have to make it as complicated as possible. And that I just don't like at all. Anyway, we're going to talk to Isabel later about this, but as far as I'm concerned, it's completely pointless because they're not going to make any profit out of anybody this year because they killed so many businesses that none of us are going to make a profit.
Well,
for the first time, I've been in business nearly 30 years, and for the first time ever, I won't make a profit or pay any corporation tax this year.
Do you know what, Paul?
What?
I don't blame you.
Well, it's not good.
No, I know.
Look, anyway, let me finish off on this.
All right, yeah, do. You're on a roll. Go on.
Yeah.
Cheese or ham?
Companies will be able to deduct investment in new machinery and technology to lower their taxable profits. They already could. They've just messed around with it a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually convinced that they've made it better. I haven't read the small details of it yet. But I'm not convinced by it. But anyway, we shall see.
Yeah.
They've also played around with the R&D tax credit system as well.
What have they done with that?
They've severely reduced it for small businesses.
Oh.
They claim there's going to be reduced paperwork for international trade, who will be given longer to submit customs forms under new streamlined rules. But to be quite frank, the chief system was supposed to be replaced donkeys years ago. And the system that they've gone to replace it with, which would be really, really easy, doesn't work. And they're still fiddling with it, so we shall see. And the big changes are pensions, which has got everybody agitated.
Oh, yeah, tell me about the pensions. They wanted to increase the amount you could save.
There's a ceiling on how much your pension pot can have within the tax-free limits, which was £1,070,000. They've now scrapped that altogether. It's unlimited.
Okay.
That you can have.
Yeah.
They've also raised...
Catch is trying to save.
Yeah. They've also raised the allowance limit per year, which was 40,000, and it's now going to be 60,000. Okay?
Mm.
And the 1 million limit has been removed. There's also, because politicians from other parties are going tonto about this without having the remotest understanding of how any of it works, because the tax-free element of this is only while it's in the pension. As soon as you try and take it out, you have to pay tax on it.
Yeah.
Apart from you get 25% as a tax-free allowance that you can draw once. Well, what they've done is they've capped that, so you can't draw tax-free more than £268,000.
I think we all need to go and live in Zanzibar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. Well, have you finished that rant? Are you still? Because we've had a little message from our producer and our tech man, Mikey.
Mikey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll find Mikey on anytech.co.uk. That's T-E-K, anytech.co.uk. He says we can do that. And they can. And he says, listening in, Paul Andrews, and he says, we need more stories about pegs.
Pegs.
He's missing pegs.
Yeah. We did clothes pegs last week. Yeah.
Just call me Peggy. And just to say that my Minky delivery has arrived, Mikey, and they're lovely. They're all cushioned grip. And also I've pegged.
Oh, your minky pegs.
Yeah, my minky pegs have arrived. And yeah, so that's great.
We've had a tweet. I'm going to ignore her now as well. I really
What's
am.
New?
We've had a tweet from M Farmers Market. That's Morling Farmers Market.
Yeah.
They said, can we have a shout out, please? It's Westmorling Farmers Market. It's coming Sunday, the 26th of March, offering great locally produced food, drink, and some crafts. And there's a lovely picture of some crab and prawns.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Do you know, I did. For Mother's Day, I had my mum round for obvious reasons, and I had my father-in-law round with his lady friend,
right.
And I got from the good shed, I got a beautiful, a huge chalk stream trout.
I saw that. I saw the picture you posted.
It was really delicious, yeah. And that's from Shane and team, and we did it with almonds, flaked almonds and a few herbs, and it was absolutely delicious, and we got lots of leftovers. So this morning, for my brunch, pre-bunker, I had the old vegetables left over from Sunday. Doesn't sound nice, does it? But I pan-fried them with a couple of eggs from the local butcher, and it was delicious.
Was they double yolked?
Did you see?
I did.
It's very. I. Why do we get excited about a double yolk?
I don't. You do. You post it all over Twitter. I've had trout and a double yolk egg.
Yeah. No, I didn't have trout this morning. I had bacon in my little ninja fryer. Have you got a ninja fryer yet?
No.
They're very good. I just whiz up a bit of bacon in 11 seconds.
I'm not having bacon.
Why?
I'm What's on a wrong? Diet, aren't I?
Well, bacon's not fattening.
Yeah, of course it is.
Rubbish. It's meat. Meat's not fattening. I love bacon.
Sarah Marsh Collins has been on. She said it's another Business Bunker show this afternoon. We're listening in from the not so sunny at the moment, Belvedere. Not least to hear from your lovely guests. So thank you, Sarah. And thank you for joining us.
I must say to Sarah that I often try and copy her in on little dog tweets because we all love our dogs. And I often can't, for some reason, Twitter stops me sort of finding her. You know when you do the search and you put in at Sarah?
Yeah, yeah. But the search,
are you finding that lately?
And I can't find anyone. The search is rubbish at the moment. Yeah, it's just utter rubbish.
And people that I, you know, often tweet don't come up in the search, and yet all these strangers pop up.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I don't want to talk to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I put in people I follow, and it gives me someone in Kazakhstan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's where the old spaceships are, you know. They've got an old launch pad there, Russian, I think it is. My new husband went to Kazakhstan and saw the old launch places, the old rockets.
That's where they were launching Sputniks from.
Yeah, talking of Russia, is Putin, has he been arrested or is he still wandering about? No,
that's got to be the stupidest thing ever.
He was going to be arrested yesterday.
Yeah, but isn't that the stupidest thing ever?
Seemed a bit odd.
Well, you announced you're going to...
Especially when the Met Police aren't really very good anymore, apparently.
You've announced you're going to arrest someone for being a war criminal, and then you want them to stop the war,
yeah,
so that they can get arrested. How's that work? It's just bonkers.
But also, if you say you're going to arrest someone, he's going to disappear, isn't he?
Well, exactly, it's bonkers.
He's not going to hang on and sit.
It's a fair cop. I'll give myself up. Yeah, okay.
Hands up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you want my nuclear weapons?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Saying that, in Dubai, the lovely villa we were at, the Palm, with lots of pegs, Mikey, if you're listening, lovely pegs there, they were all being bought. The villa we were in was $11 million. It was on the market for dollars. It was all being bought by Russians.
Obviously.
Yeah, because we've got sanctions, but Dubai doesn't mind who it lets in. They let them in.
Do you know what?
Tunage?
I'm going to play some cheesy tunage.
Okay. Batman, that sounds
Batman.
That sounds like Batman. Oh, it's He Lives in a House. A very
big house.
In the country.
In the country.
By Blur.
By Blur with Damon.
Does sound like Batman at the beginning.
It does a bit, yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. What's Mikey think? Professional cynic, but my heart's not in it. I'm paying the price of living life at the limit. Caught up in the centuries, anxiety. Yes, it plays on him. It's getting bad, trying to sit on. Lives in a house, very big house in the country. Watching afternoon repeats and the food he eats in the country. Takes a manner of pills and piles up animal spells in the country. Oh, it's like an animal farm. That's a real old charm in the country. He's got morning glory and life's a different story. Everything's going Jack and Jory. Touch with his own mortality. He's reading balls and looking bad prose. It's a helping hand that makes you feel blind as you're blind. Oh, it's the same.
Blur, country house.
He's got a really distinctive S, hasn't he?
Yes.
Damon.
Blur.
Blur.
Damon Albarn.
Damon Albarn, Blur.
Yeah.
And he's got that little S, isn't he? Like he's got something in his you know, like a hole in his tooth or something.
Yeah.
It's very distinctive, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Good song.
Anyway, that was Chitty Tunage in homage to our next guest, Mr. Stephen York from the Academy of Real Assets. So let's hear what Stephen had to say.
Can't wait.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show this Tuesday afternoon, Mr. Stephen York. Stephen, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
It's lovely to meet you. Stephen is from the Academy of Real Assets. We were introduced, Stephen, by Alison Palmer, and in line with the 30-30 program we do in schools. And I know that you're heavily involved in this area as well. So why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about the Academy and what it is you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Be delighted to. So the Academy of Real Assets is a membership group made up of small and large firms across the UK involved in real estate and real assets.
Right.
All of whom have come together with the object of getting to, speaking to, engaging with students from disadvantaged backgrounds to explain to them the opportunities that lie for them in the real estate world.
Right.
And so what we particularly want to do is get to those students who may not have been particularly academically motivated at school.
Sure.
So might have left school with not quite the exam results they'd hoped for or perhaps should have got. Those sorts of students, if they are from disadvantaged backgrounds, probably don't have the connections that more privileged students have and may not know that within the universe of real estate and real assets, there are really huge numbers of opportunities for them. And that's what we're about, getting to those students, explaining to them the opportunities that there are, and then introducing them to the employers who are very keen to speak to them.
Absolutely. I think you couldn't be more right. I agree with everything that you said. And my own background, although I'm incredibly old now, I left school when I was 14. I was not remotely academically interested. And the academic side of school wasn't very interested in me either. You're all equally right in the whole field of careers. You know, in all kinds of career sectors, there's really not enough information given to young people in education about the opportunities that exist. And of course, we live in a world now where those opportunities change on a regular basis as well. You know, the rate of change is really high. What I'd like to kind of focus on is just give us a broad overview of, you know, you talk about property, but from your point of view, what does that involve? What kind of careers, what kind of business opportunities, you know, kind of expand on what you see as the property marketplace, if you like.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely at the heart of this, because I think if you were to go and ask most people, probably, but certainly most students, what is the property world? What is the world of real estate? Most people would think estate agency. That's their, you know, that's probably the way that they come into contact with people in the property world.
Yeah.
But of course, if you think about any building, and you think about the process involved in getting from a piece of land, whether it's a field or a bit of scrap land, to that building, whether it's a house or a school or a hospital, you think of the literally hundreds of different people that are involved in that process. Mm. And all of those people have different skills.
Yep.
Bring different things. Some are very practical. Some are actually, you know, doing the building, putting the electrics in, putting the air conditioning in. Others are more imaginative and more artistic. They might be designing. Others are more technical. There's a huge amount of technology now involved in building things. Others might be involved in selling.
Yeah.
So all of those aspects are involved in the collective process, which is building things,
yeah,
and then occupying them.
Yeah.
And so I think the light bulb moment for me, Paul, really was the realization that most professions, and if you think about law or medicine or accountancy or banking or engineering, whatever it might be, in all of those professions, it doesn't matter how interesting a person you are, how creative a person you are. If you don't pass the exams, you don't get a job.
Yeah.
Real estate is not like that.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you look at some of the most successful people in the real estate world, they left school at 16 with nothing. Mm. And when I sort of started to think that through, what I realized was that that placed an obligation or a responsibility on my business of real estate to go to the schools and go to the students and look them in the eye and say, if you're academic, fantastic. There's lots of great things for you to do within real estate. But if you're not,
yeah,
that also doesn't matter, because there's a lot of really cool things to do and the business really needs students with get up and go and different skills. And I felt we needed to come together as an industry, reflecting all the different bits of the real estate world, to go to students and explain to them those opportunities.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You're right. The landscape at the moment, and this is from other businesses that I run, there's currently a shortage of approximately 300,000 people in the construction industries across the UK. bringing into schools, colleges, educational establishments, and places where young people can be found, the idea behind working in those industries is long overdue. For the last 15, 20 years, we've done very little to encourage people into those industries. So what you're doing, I think, is absolutely fantastic and long overdue and well needed. Because, you know, young people in education or who have recently left education don't have access to resources to know about these kind of things. And, you know, you might say, you know, do you want to be a bricklayer or do you want to be a quantity surveyor or, you know, you want to be an estate agent or whatever. It doesn't really mean a lot to young people and they don't understand the process of a career, if you see what I mean. So having folks like you go in and talk about it, I think is a massively useful resource. So what I want to kind of focus on a little bit now, Stephen, if I may, is how you deliver these things, how you talk to students. Yeah,
that absolutely is the million-dollar question, because the other thing, before I set this up, I did quite a lot of sort of due diligence and talking and speaking to people who are already involved in what one might crudely call the sort of social mobility space.
Yeah.
And I learned quite a lot. Well, I learned an awful lot from that. And I realized that the first thing is the types of school that one needs to get to and the type of student that one needs to get to are by definition time poor and probably resource poor.
Yep.
So it's no good just sending emails to these schools or these youth community centres or the football clubs or the bar, whatever it might be, and just saying, we're here, what can we do? You have to actually, first of all, you have to go and speak to them and meet them and engage with the guardians of the students, if you like, to explain to them what it is that you can do. And then you need to offer them something that is easy for them to deliver, doesn't cost money for them to deliver, and doesn't take a lot of time for them to deliver.
Yeah.
And that applies in spades to teachers.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things you probably know this, but you often will hear from businesses, you'll often hear businessmen say, oh, I've tried to, you know, reach out to this school or that school and I never hear back.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the reason they don't hear back, there's two reasons, really. One is that some schools are just inundated with spam email from people who are trying to do the right thing, but who haven't really thought through what it is they're going to do and how they're going to do it. Yeah. And by answering those emails, it just creates more work for the teacher. So they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And the second thing, actually, which needs to be said, is that some of those businesses have let the schools down.
Yeah.
They have maybe promised things and not delivered. So there's, in some instances, a degree of skepticism about what businesses can or can't do or the motivation, possibly. So what we do is as follows. We have two constituencies within the Academy of Real Assets. We have the partners, and the partners are the schools, the football clubs, the sports clubs, the youth centres, and so on.
Yep.
We have either spoken to, met with, engaged with all of those in person, so we know a little bit about each of them.
Right.
And we offer them a variety of different engagement opportunities. It could be something as simple as, we'll get someone to come to your careers event. We'll get someone to come and speak to year nine.
Yeah.
It could be a little bit more complicated. It might be we'll set up a site visit for you to bring 10 or 15 students to a construction site or to a building that's particularly interesting, football stadium or a skyscraper in the city or something like that.
Right.
So, and then once we've worked out what the partners and the students want, we then go to our members and we say, okay, guys, who wants to come in and help deliver this particular event? And, you know, there's no shortage of volunteers. There's a lot of people really want to help.
Right.
But it's a question then of managing it and fixing the event and making sure it works and making sure that it's not time, doesn't take up a lot of time for the teacher and the member. So that's really what we're about. Oh. And we've delivered all sorts of things from as, you know, as micro as mentoring, which might be one or two students that just want to have someone on the end of the phone to talk about their careers or so on.
Sure.
Through to and including quite large groups of students going to members' offices and spending the day there and learning about the business, or going to a site and spending a day at a skyscraper or a shopping centre or whatever it might be. So that we try to give all sorts of different options, to all of which has as its basic common denominator what is going to interest the students.
Right. That's cool. So when did you formulate the organisation? How long have you been running?
Yeah, good. So it started during lockdown.
Right.
So during lockdown in 2020, I started to think about this, as I think a lot of people were sitting at home thinking about
this. Yeah. What should I do to occupy myself?
Yeah. So this is one of the things I was thinking about. And I thought, okay, so the idea started to develop in 2020. Mm. I needed to see if there would be senior industry support. So I went to some bosses of some very big influential firms, and I spoke to them at the end of 2020 to see whether they would support it. I'm glad to say they did. And in 2021, we launched. Right. And we started inviting members to firms to become members. So we got to 50 members pretty quickly. We're now at 62 members, and we have ambitions to get to 100 or so members. We're very much at the moment a London and Southeast based entity. And that's not because that we don't have ambitions outside of London. Mm. It's a reflection of the fact that our first 60 members are very much owners and investors. So they tend to have their staff and their resources in London.
Yeah.
And so in order for us to be able to do events, and of course, there's an awful lot of things to be done in London. But our intention is, when we get to 100 members in London, we will then move to different parts of the country and replicate the same model in different parts of the country. And we've already in discussions about that.
Fantastic. I was going to ask you, you've kind of half answered the question already anyway, but what you're a membership-based organisation primarily. So what kind of organisations are members?
Well, pretty much, you know, if you think about the biggest owners and investors in the land, Blackstone, Savills, PGIM, Schroders, you know,
these are big organizations,
Derwent London, Seagrow, Hammerson. We've got some very, very big. They're not all big members, I should say. And we price it. Now, the pricing of this is very important, because what one has to appreciate is that all of these firms already have their own individual initiatives. They're already doing stuff, all of them, pretty much.
Yeah.
So to go to them and say, would you come in and be part of a collective, meant that it had to be priced in such a way that they would go, okay, well, that's a relatively small amount of money for what could be quite a large impact. We'll do it. Yeah. And equally, it needs to be a small enough amount of money that small firms, small development firms, small agency firms also think, actually, you know what, we'd like to be part of that as well.
Yeah.
So the annual cost to be a member of the Academy is £2,500 in year one and £3,500 in year two, when they've got a feel for how it goes.
Yeah.
And so it's a very small amount of money. But the point is that by having all those very big names on our membership roster, that gets the attention of the schools and the Premier League football clubs and the Met Police and the others who we want to work with.
Yeah.
So that's how we operate.
Fantastic. It's a brilliant model. It's doing stuff that is really, really, really important. And all power to you, Stephen, for coming up with the idea and for making it happen. If people want to find out more about your organisation, do you have a website that they can look at?
Yeah, we do. I mean, if they just Google the Academy of Real Assets, they'll find us. I mean, the website is actually acadrealassets.com, which is a bit of a mouthful. But yeah, the Academy of Real Assets, they'll find us. We're, you know, we are a membership outfit, so we are always interested in talking to those who are involved in real estate in whatever capacity, however big or small, provided their heart's in the right place and they think that what we're doing is worthy, then we want to, them to be part of it and learn from them. So, yeah, that would be great.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Stephen. Thank you for joining us on the radio show, and we wish you continued success with the Academy.
I really appreciate your time.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Construction businesses, we're celebrating the very best projects, people, innovations and businesses in construction. Could this be you? Winning an award can help you open doors to contracts, find new supply channels and break into new markets. Each winner will receive a beautifully engraved trophy along with a total prize package worth over £1,000. Enter the Southeast Construction Awards now at constructionexpoawards.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
So that was Stephen York from the Academy of Real Assets talking about his membership organisation of property-related businesses, encouraging young people into the industries associated with property.
I was going to read an email, actually, just this once. It's a group of crafters, and they met at the Rye Harbour Discovery Centre on Saturday. And they're keen to get involved in a wet felting workshop.
I bet they are.
It sounds a bit, doesn't it?
Does it? Wet felting.
Wet felting.
Okay.
After a short introduction on the history and the technique of felt making from Amanda Martin, she'll be leading the course. The group said to set to with raw fleece, water, soap and plenty of elbow grease to create their own small piece of this fascinating textile. I bet old Tracy would like this, won't she? Because she's very creative.
Tracy.
Yeah, Tazy 64.
Oh, right. Yeah.
She's very creative, I noticed. So she'll like this sort of thing. So they're using raw fleece. I wonder if that smells of sheep.
Wonder if it's what? It
smells of sheep. You know, well, when it's damp, it or like wet dog.
Yeah. Well, I imagine it does, or, as it came off a sheep.
Or alpaca, it could be.
I don't think they'd have alpaca fleeces, would they?
I don't know. Mm. There's lots of alpacas down that way, Romney Marsh way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're using raw fleece, which may or may not smell, water, soap, and plenty of elbow grease, and they're creating their little small piece of this fascinating textile. They also sampled the carding process to understand how the wool had been prepared for use. Felting wool is the oldest type of textile art, and although time-consuming, it's very exciting to turn a pile of wool, which looks rather grubby, there you
and
are,
smells.
I rest my case, into something which is quite beautiful and creative. There you are. So I love that. The old Rye Harbour has all these creatives living there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Really nice. Go on then.
Oh, thank you. I can get a word in, can I?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, that's nice of you. Kim Stevens has been on. She said, I'd love a Business Monk, a shout-out, please. I'm looking for an in-house care trainer. Do you have experience in health and social care? And are you looking for the next step in your caring career? For more information on the full job description, please DM us or email jobs@caringkent.co.uk.
Yeah, lots of care. I was just talking off air to our next guest, and Isabel, I'm just saying that when I came back from Dubai recently, a couple of weeks ago, we sat next to some lovely people from, Zimbabwe, who were going up north. They were going to Worcester. They said, we're going to Worcestershire. Right. And I said, you don't need to say the sheer bit. You can just say Worcester.
They were saucy, weren't they?
Yeah, we told them about the sauce. And then we told them to get some vitamin D. And I told them to go to Marks and Spencer's and get some thermal vests. Mm-hmm. I said, you're going to need layers, you know. But, yeah, bringing them in to work at care homes because we can't get the staff.
Funnily enough,
they were lovely, lovely people.
My next 30-30 programme, which is my free schools careers programme, is at the end of this month, 31st of March, at St Ethelbert's School in Margate. And I'm doing it in conjunction with the NHS. And we're doing a health and social care special, talking to students about working in health, social care and the caring industries.
Mm. Yeah, we definitely need...
There's a lot of myths about the care industry in terms of, you know, everybody thinks it's a minimum wage job and all the rest of it. Like every industry, there are minimum wage jobs in it, but there are in every industry. But it isn't a minimum wage job, and you do need qualifications. And the people that are paid the lowest are the people that aren't qualified yet because they're training. Mm. Yeah?
Well, these two on the plane had done their training in Zimbabwe. They were properly trained, so it was really good.
Yeah, well, you have to be. You can't be a carer without the right training. It's not
what is the minimum wage now? £9?
No,
12,
it's nearly 10 quid, isn't it?
So well, come on, tell us, Isabel. Do you know? Oh, you sounded very knowledgeable. The last I remember was about £9 something.
Yeah, no, it's over £10 now. I can't remember.
Okay, so but is it on a sliding scale with age? So if you're 21, it's a bit more.
There is the minimum wage is £10 over 21, whatever it is. The wages below that are if you're an apprentice or a 16-year-old,
which is crazy because often the younger ones haven't got any transport, so they're paying bus prices and train prices, and so that's always a bit difficult, isn't it? Yep. They can't drive and things. Rail passengers, talking of transport, they've branded Eurostar's suspension of Kent services insane and pointless after Continental trains ceased stopping in the county almost 3 years ago during the pandemic. We know they stopped, but they haven't started again. Thousands have now backed a petition urging the company to return the international rail service after it was snatched away during lockdown. And travellers at Ashford International Station this week hit out the move, which is not expected to return until 2025. Funny that they actually give a return date.
It's stupid, isn't
it? What's the point?
And they built a multi-million pound terminal there, which they don't use anymore, just bonkers.
And I quite fancy going to Paris now. It's made me want to go to Paris.
Well, you can still go, but you've got to go to London to come back.
First, yeah, well, I guess I'd drive to Dover, wouldn't I? Go by ferry.
I'd go by ferry.
I like the ferry. I actually like the ferry.
Well, yeah.
I sit there, have a glass of wine. Yeah, I like the ferry. You don't.
No, you put a car on a train.
You can do, but I quite like the ferry. I think it's nice, like a little holiday, isn't it? Well, no, the sea cats used to feel a bit rough on, but the ferry's all right. I like to see the land appear. It's nice. And then drive off the other end and tootle off. Sevenoaks Chamber, Paul Andrews, they're saying join us on the 5th of April for their first Wednesday networking meeting, which is hosted at The Nest. I don't know where The Nest is. I take it it's in Sevenoaks. I knew that. What is it? Is it a cafe, a restaurant?
Yeah.
Which?
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah.
You don't know, do you?
Yeah.
Restaurant?
Yeah.
Hotel?
Yeah.
Guest house?
Yeah.
Airbnb?
Yeah.
Hannah, Amanda and the team. From Nest. Look forward to welcoming chamber members and guests to their beautiful space.
It's a beautiful space. I told you it was a beautiful space.
And they'll be giving each attendee a special gift.
There you go.
It's worth going for that. And then also Sevenoaks Chamber have got a Chamber Sustainability Forum on April the 26th. And we want to bring together local businesses that are passionate about sustainability and those that want to expand their knowledge. The forum will be the place to share best practice, ask questions and explore actions that members have already taken to become more sustainable. So go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to find out more about those and all the events that we mentioned on the show.
Yep. I've had a tweet from Phil Wilson.
Oh, is he drumming?
From Pip, yeah. He says, oh, can I have a Business Bunker shout out, please? To all the musicians, this will be Pip, to all the musicians who are currently laying in bed on a Tuesday before hitting the road again on Wednesday for a gig. For those that don't know, Phil is a drummer with 70s glam rock band Mud, but he's drumming at the moment for T-Rex-tacy, the T-Rex tribute band.
Yeah, that's right. So, a derelict convenience shop branded an eyesore in the heart of village and attracting vandalism could be replaced by new homes. Well, there's the surprise. Cost Cutter in St Michael's near Tenterden. So, when they build the new homes, they're then going to need a convenience store, surely?
There's a convenience store next door and there's a convenience store opposite.
All right, I'll let you off. Cost Cutter in St Michael's near Tenterden, because this is your patch, isn't it? Closed in 2017, so that must be why it closed, because there's two other companies.
It was a dump, is why it closed. It's a horrible dump in a horrible building, and it was sandwiched between two very nice convenience stores.
Okay, so the plans have now been proposed for two cottage-style homes at the former retail premises. Well, you could buy one of those.
I could.
You could buy them both.
I could.
Rent one out.
I could.
Or knock through, have a bigger one.
Yeah.
Newly submitted designs would see two detached homes built on the site in Ashford Road, which is also known as New Blue Barn Store. Is that the convenience store is called New Blue Barn
Store? It's a Cost Cutters, yeah.
Okay, but they're calling it New Blue Barn Store. Well, that was a mouthful,
wasn't it? That was the name of the company that owned the Cost Cutters franchise that was in the shop before it fell down.
I think it's quite hard to say. I'm just popping out for some cheese.
That's why they're going to knock it down.
Yeah, I'm just popping out for some cheese. I'm going to the New Blue Barn Store.
We all shop in Dale, shop around the clock.
Yeah, wearing a frock. One would be a three-bedroom house and the other would be a three- or four-bedroom home, they haven't decided, both with gardens and parking. Residents have welcomed the application and bid to overhaul the area. So you are happy about that, that's good.
Yeah,
because it's
an eyesore.
It's
an eyesore and it's not needed because there are two far better shops there already anyway.
Well, there you are. Why don't you go and get one of those cottages?
I don't want one.
When Zach Warwood saw the King's Head in Sutton Valence was up for grabs last year, however, he knew he had to take the opportunity. He enlisted the help of co-owner and head chef Joe Woodfine to purchase the pub in April, and the pair spent an intense few weeks completely refurbishing the interior before opening in May. They recently renovated their upstairs function room, fit with its own bar, which is already booked up for months ahead. And Zach said the first thing we did was go around the village and knock on everyone's doors to introduce ourselves and just see what they might want from our pub. That's clever, isn't it? Mm. We immediately noticed that a lot of people had dogs, like me. So we knew we had to make it dog friendly. A lot of people also wanted it to be food focused rather than a wet pub. So we focused on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, food. That's great.
It also helps that they're smack next door to one of the biggest private schools in Kent. Sutton Valence School.
Okay.
Which always helps.
Yeah. Where is Sutton Valence? I don't really know.
On the outskirts of Maidstone.
Okay. Well, that sounds lovely. So it's the, what's the name of it? The King's Head. So they've kept the name in Sutton Valence.
I used to go there when I was a teenager.
To do what? Have a bag of crisps?
At Sutton Valence, just around the corner from the pub, they had a disco that we used to go to as kids.
Oh.
But on the way over there, I'd pop into the pub and have a steak and kidney pie and a pint of mild and bitter.
In the 1920s, that must have been
it
such
was in
fun.
The 1920s, yeah. And then war broke out and I had to stop, yeah.
And you used to do your little flapper dance.
Yeah, I've had a tweet from Mr. Rent Bottom.
Oh, we haven't done many tweets,
have we? He says, can Motastic have a shout out, please? Their While You Wait petrol mower servicing service. Bring your mower to Motastic in Harwicham, wait 15 minutes and it's done, yeah. We started it during lockdown to reduce journeys and everybody loved it. You can find out all about it by going to Motastic, motastic.co.uk/WYW. So that's Motastic, While You Wait, lawnmower servicing.
Yeah, and Tendered and Chamber, found on Facebook on Totally Greyhound Chat. I have a greyhound, by the way, Isabel, in case you're not wondering about all these dog things. So there's, oh, it's a picture, so I'm not sure it'll work, really. But it's sent to me by Sarah, the lovely Sarah Marsh Collins. She is S. Marsh Collins, if you want to find her on Twitter. And I've just got to check it's not rude. So it's got the greyhounds all stretching. Okay, girls, cool down, stretching front. So they're all wearing their little jumpers and doing yoga and back. And I won't mention what they're doing from their rear ends. But, you know, greyhounds tend to have wind.
Do they? Yeah, well, I'm glad you told us
but
that.
But mine's fine because she's got probiotics. She has probiotics every day. So she's fine. She doesn't get wind anymore.
Good.
I've solved
I'm so
it.
Pleased.
But the probiotics cost a fortune.
Everything about your dog costs a fortune. Mr. Rantbottom has also said, can you also give a shout out to all the businesses in Harwicham, Lenham, Charing and surrounding areas? We are forming a new business support group called Lenham Means Business. There's a website and Facebook page under construction right now, and our first meeting will be to discuss 15-minute cities.
Oh.
There you go.
Where to start?
No, they weren't asking you to start. They were just telling you.
I know. Oh, I've just read that one. I better put that over. That's the
don't read it
seven
again.
Notes. No, I mustn't.
Construction Expo have been on. The 2023 entries for the awards are closing soon. Does your business and team deserve recognition for outstanding achievements? If so, enter the Southeast Construction Awards now. So do that. ConstructionExpoUK.co.uk is the website for that.
The Boundaries Workshop will take place on Saturday the 25th of March at 9:30. In this workshop, we look at the different types of boundaries, why they're important, how to set and maintain them. I'm wondering if this is like, you know, land boundaries or what? Mm. Or is it sort of, I don't know, people boundaries? If you're currently having sessions, this workshop is free of charge. So there's a Zoom link. It's Gemma Harris, Gemma at ghconsulting.info. So I'm thinking it is other boundaries, not land boundaries.
Yeah. DG East have been on. They say, hi, Vanilla Webb and Jill Sirkin. How about a shout out for an excited vehicle supplier finally delivering a new Skoda Kodiaq to a business customer today?
Oh, because poor Terry has been waiting for ages.
Ages and ages
for bits,
and ages.
Isn't he, Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is too long to read before the news, but there's a Marsh Network face-to-face networking, which is East Sussex and Kent on the 4th of April. And also that's at Pet Village Hall. Details will be on Kent Business Radio after the show. And also Marsh Network breakfast meeting at the Ship Inn, Dymchurch, April 27th, 7:45 a.m. to 9:15 a.m.
Sarah Marsh Collins has been on. We were just talking about the King's Head in Sutton Valence.
Yeah.
She says, oh, I have a friend whose house adjoins the beer garden of the King's Head at Sutton Valence.
Very handy.
She says her name's Susie K. Brooks, and she's a psychotherapist, hypnotherapist. She's amazing, and it's a lovely place.
Well,
there you go.
You know, everything has a little connection somewhere, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
6 degrees of connection or something.
Yeah.
And there's a Sevenoaks Next Gen meeting. Join us at the first Next Generation Networking event of 2023 on March the 23rd at Eaton Mess at SPN Fit, which is opposite Sevenoaks Station.
I can't read anything because mine are very long. But,
okay.
But I'm aware there's a lot of tweets that I've missed. I must
There's loads on there. I've been trying to catch up because you've let me down on that. But
yeah,
anyway.
I will look.
The Maidstone Business Terrace, looking to grow your business, what's the next step? Join us at the Business Terrace for sessions to learn what funding is right for you. The next one is at the Business Terrace in King Street, Maidstone, on Wednesday the 29th of March at 10:30 a.m. You can find out details about all the things, all these events that we've mentioned by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Yep, exactly.
Do you know what?
Is it time for the news?
It's time for us to join the newsroom. When we come back, we've got a fantastic guest to talk
to. Isabel.
Who has been waiting patiently, listening to our nonsense and wondering why on earth she's wasting her time being
here. Why she's come all the way from Brentwood as well.
All the way from Brentwood in Essex to talk to us.
Just for a black coffee.
Yeah. And all she's got is the nonsense that we've come out with.
She hasn't even had a biscuit.
I know. Anyway, let's go over to the newsroom, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Isabel. Here we go.
The Business Bunker